1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who... So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using silver, gold, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will testify. The fire will test the quality of each person's work. For what has been built survives. The builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss and yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. And so far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, when I used to work in construction in my younger days, I'll admit that the thing that I disliked the most was working on the foundations, putting in the footings and the foundation walls of buildings. It often meant working in the mud and working in tight corners that we would put up the forms for the foundation walls. And I was always glad when that stage of the construction was finished, when we would start putting up the structure for the building. And yet, I knew full well that a proper foundation is the key to a strong building. Laying down the foundation is hard work, but always necessary work. Now, though, no doubt some of you probably noticed the same thing with this new addition to this building. You would have noticed that they spent a number of weeks getting the foundation ready, digging and pouring concrete and bringing dirt back in, and all that had to happen before they could start with the actual structure of the building. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul uses a building analogy to stress the need for a proper foundation for Christ's church. The church needs to be built on the solid foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the church is built on any other foundation, it'll soon sink or collapse. Now, Paul uses this analogy within the context of dealing with the issue of spiritual maturity within the church of Corinth. In verse 3, Paul kind of scolds the Corinthians for their worldly attitude, for their jealousy, for their quarreling within the church. And Paul says they're acting like little kids. They're acting like immature people when they were doing that. They were acting like little kids fighting over a toy, or some school kids arguing about who's the boss on the school playground. The Corinthian Christians were caught in a power struggle about who they should follow as leader of the church. And so Paul is saying to them, listen, folks, don't get caught up in human personalities within the church. We are called by God to all play together on the same team. Now, we might have different tasks. We might have different styles or strengths in terms of doing things. But we're all striving for one common purpose: to build up the church of Jesus in this world. Jesus is the one who deserves the credit for any work that we do in building his church. Now, Paul then uses an agricultural illustration to drive this point home. Paul says that God assigns each one of us different tasks. Paul says, God has used me to plant the seed of the gospel here in Corinth. And Paul has used another person named Apollos to come and water the seeds that I planted, says Paul. But, says Paul, that's then where human activity stopped. As any farmer, as any gardener knows, we can plant the seeds in the ground, and we can water them with a garden hose or maybe with an irrigation system. But only God can make the seeds grow into healthy plants. Our human effort is still necessary in the planting of the seeds, but it's God who always deserves the full credit when we have an abundant harvest. And so in this way, the Corinthians needed to look to God for the spiritual well-being of their church. Paul says that God uses human leaders like himself and like Apollos for his kingdom purposes. But without God's Spirit working in the hearts of his people, the church would soon wither and die. Now in verse 9, Paul then switches the focus from God's field to God's building. Now Paul, the apostle, he obviously had a real God-given gift for planting new churches. But God also gave Paul the skills to build up these churches like that of an expert builder. And it all began with Paul laying down a solid foundation for the church of Corinth in the first place. Now, in the first part of 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul stresses a need for building the church on the foundation message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says that this message of the cross is the key to a strong foundation within the church. This message of the cross is foolishness to those who look to miraculous powers or to human wisdom to validate their beliefs. But for us who believe, says Paul, this message of Christ crucified is the power of God's forgiveness and salvation. And this central message of the Bible is our only sure hope as God's people. It's not based on how much we know about the Bible. It's not based on what we do for God. It comes down to a simple, childlike faith in the basic message of God's salvation in Jesus. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's really the foundation of our faith in a nutshell. And I think most of us know that, and yet all too easily we can stray from that foundational message of God's grace. We can all too easily buy into the more popular way of treating the Christian life as kind of a self-help, as a kind of self-improvement kind of a project, where we put the focus on what we think we need to do for God in our lives. That if we just focus on trying to live a decent life, then God will surely be pleased with our efforts. And even when we know when we stumble and fail in our lives, we can sometimes treat Jesus as more a type of a band-aid to cover over the wound of sin in our lives. And then we go off and do our own thing again. We can all too easily build our lives on the foundation of human effort and on the prevailing wisdom of this world. Sometimes we can even try to build our churches that way, with the management philosophies of the business world, rather than letting God's Spirit lead the way in building his church. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 and 11, but each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that's Paul's way of saying that it's not what we do for God that ultimately determines our eternal well-being. What counts is what God has already done for us in Jesus. How Jesus has shed His blood on the cross to clean up the bloody mess of our sinful condition. Any other foundation other than God's gift of forgiveness and new life in Jesus is useless, says Paul. A while ago, I read a book by Billy Graham. It's a book about his life story. The title of the book is Just As I Am. And in that book, Billy Graham writes about a friend confronting him one day about his preaching. And the friend came to Billy Graham and said, "Listen, Billy, your preaching on that particular night, you missed the point in your preaching. Billy, you didn't speak about the cross in that service," said his friend. And his friend said, "How can anyone be converted to Jesus without at least one single mention of the cross where Jesus died for us? You need to preach about the blood that was shed for us on the cross, Billy. There's no greater power than when we talk about the cross." Now, Billy Graham in this book says that initially he resisted his friend's rebuke. But that night, he had trouble sleeping. He knew that his friend was right. And so Billy Graham says, "I made a commitment never to preach again without the gospel being as clear as possible, centering on Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead for our salvation." And those of us who've heard Billy Graham through the years, we know that that's always been the central focus of all of his crusades. Now, of course, we might not be preachers like Billy Graham. But God calls us as his followers to build our lives and to build his church on that same foundation. Our primary calling as Christians is to model and to share our commitment to the good news of Jesus as Savior and Lord of our lives. God also calls us to build the ministries of this church on that same foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with this new building now complete, we now need to continue to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, that we focus on the good news of God's grace in Jesus as we seek to build His church through the ministries that we have for those who already attend this church, but more so that we build ministries for the people that God wants us to reach in this community in the name of Jesus. Jesus stresses that point in a parable of two builders in Matthew chapter 7. The wise builder that Jesus talks about hears Jesus' words and puts them into practice. He builds his life on the solid foundation of Jesus as the rock of his salvation. But then there was this foolish man that Jesus also talks about. The foolish man who built his house on the sand without there being a solid foundation. He ignores Jesus' words. And when the storms of life come, his house comes down with a mighty crash. Greg Elder, an author, writes about growing up on the Atlantic coast and spending many hours building elaborate sandcastles on the seashore. And at one point, he says that for several days in a row, some bullies came along and smashed his sandcastles, smashed all his creations. And so he decided to solve the problem by putting some rocks and the base of his sandcastles. And when the bullies appeared again, and he disappeared, their bare feet suddenly met their match. Now the church today, like the church in Corinth, is in danger of getting smashed by the bullying tactics of the devil, who tries to tempt us to lose our focus as a church. It happens when we ignore the blueprint of God's Word. It happens when we take our eyes off Jesus as the cornerstone of our faith. As Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 18, when we build his church on him as the rock, the gates of hell will not even be able to overcome it. Now, over an 8-month period, we watched this building come together in its various stages. And like with any other building project, there's always one general contractor who oversees the whole project, and that was Landmark Builders, in this case for us. And various subcontractors came in to do their work with their unique talents and tools. But they all worked together from the same set of blueprints that the architect put together to bring the whole building project to completion. Now, God has given us a blueprint for building his church as a light for Jesus in this community. And we are the tools that God uses to build his church by the blueprint of his word. And we all have our unique gifts, enabling us to fulfill our specific roles in the common purpose of building up the church of Jesus here in this community. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God has put us all together like the parts of our human bodies to all serve the well-being of the whole body, to build Christ's church on the solid foundation of God's word with its central focus on God's gift of salvation in Jesus. Now, some of us might serve as Sunday school teachers or youth leaders. Some of us might serve in leadership positions. Some of us might reach out to people who are struggling or lonely. Some of us will plant seeds, while others will do the watering. But we all look to God to make things grow as we together strive to build his church. Paul says in verse 10 that each one should build with care. And Paul goes on to say that God will someday judge the quality of our building efforts. And Paul urges the Corinthians to use the right building materials in their building of Christ's church. Don't build the church by human effort. Don't build the church by worldly wisdom, because God will judge the church by how we live out the truth of God's word in our lives. God will judge us for how we pass on the torch of our Christian faith to our children and grandchildren. God will judge us for our faithfulness in reaching out into the community and to the world with the good news of Jesus. God will judge us for our concern for the poor and for those who suffer from injustice. God will hold us accountable for how well we have used our time, our money, and our spiritual gifts to build his kingdom here on earth. In other words, someday God will examine the way that we have lived our lives here on earth. And God will do that from his divine perspective. God will test the quality of our building efforts. He'll consider whether we've built our lives on the shifting sands of the principles of this world, or whether we've built our lives on the solid foundation of his word that's centered on Jesus Christ. And so as we enter into this next stage of our church's history with our building now complete, we need to continue to look to the blueprint of God's word to search out anew how God wants us to grow spiritually as a church. But more so, how God wants us to serve him as a church within this community. How God wants this building to be used as a ministry center for his kingdom purposes in this community. That we prayerfully look to God to show us where and how God wants us to reach out to hurting and broken people in our community with the good news of his grace and forgiveness in Jesus. After all, that's God's purpose for us as a church. Not just to be inwardly focused on our own needs and concerns, but that we need to be in tune with God's purposes as a shining light for Jesus within this community. Now, granted, that's not always an easy task. And God knows full well that we are incapable of living out his kingdom purposes by our own human efforts. Without God's help, without God leading us, we will only have a sputtering success at best. It's only by God's grace, by God's strength in Jesus, and by the empowerment of his Holy Spirit that we can live out God's purpose to build his church on the solid foundation of his word within this community. And so may God bless us and use us as we seek to do that for his kingdom purposes. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to be part of your church. We know it's not something that we deserve of our own. We know that you have called us to be part of your church simply because of your grace and your love for us in Jesus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us your word, that you have given us the blueprint of your word to show us how to live in response to what you have already done for us in Jesus. How you have called us to build your church on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ crucified. Lord God, we know that you want us to encourage each other in our faith and our service for Jesus as we together build up the body of this church. But we pray that you will also show us where and how we can reach out to the people of this community, people in this community who are struggling in the brokenness and the hopelessness of their own lives, people who need to hear the good news of hope in Jesus Christ that we already have. Pray that you will lead us by your Holy Spirit as we try to do that, Lord God. Help us to look to the blueprint of your word for how we can do that to be used to build up your church in this community, and that we may do that to your glory and to your honor. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.